Okay, Dwayne McCachern here, Community From Within podcast. Four things. I got a list here. It's still Wednesday, June 26th, 2019, when I'm recording this. I don't know when I'll put it out. But the end of the last, what was episode 2, I said, the next one I'm going to talk about monkey business. And I'm going to get to that. Maybe not today, we'll see. I need to just see, my plan was to talk about monkey business tomorrow on my drive home from work. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to save it for then. But it turns out this evening I have to go for a drive, and I'm by myself in the truck, and I've got about a half an hour or so in the truck alone. I'm just going to pump out a couple thoughts here. So this is episode 3. Thought number 1. No, that's 1. This is thought number 2. I mumble sometimes in regular speech, and I speak too fast when I talk, especially when I'm talking to like family members, people I've known intimately my whole life, like I'm talking to my mom or dad or my wife or my daughter. I can speak really fast sometimes. And my wife often tells me to slow down. I remember in grade 12 in high school, this is 1996, they used to do the grade 12 class play, the senior class play, as part of English class. And our English teacher, shout out to Jerome Sullivan, brought down a friend of his, an actress from Halifax. And if I remember correctly, her name was Gay Hauser. I had a wonderful experience doing that play. But she came down and she was teaching us, like we had done some reading and had the parts set out. She came down to help us with the blocking and, you know, learning about how to put on an actual play. And the very first time she sat down with the main cast, I was one of the members, she asked us to read some lines, and I read mine, and she looked at me, she goes, "Are you in this play?" She could not believe I was going to be in an actual play on stage because I did not know how to enunciate properly. I enunciated very poorly. And she taught me all about how to move my lips and enunciate all my words clearly and effectively and to project across the stage and across the auditorium. So the problem is when I get excited talking about something, I forget that and I talk too fast and I mumble. So I am going to try to, you know, of course, listen, I hope, to each of these podcasts before I put them out. I don't want to start re-recording and dubbing and stuff and editing. I will if I absolutely have to, but, you know, just bear with me. If I'm really bad, maybe I'll cut it out. Just let me know if you know. On the communityfromwithin.com website, there's a contact form. You know, shoot me a note on anything. If you have questions, comments on the podcast. But if I'm not enunciating properly, if you can't understand me because I'm talking too fast or mumbling, I would love to let you know. Because that's the thing. If I'm listening to my own voice, of course, everybody's voice sounds different in recordings, but I can understand what I'm saying, usually, I guess. My handwriting's a different story. My handwriting's worse than my mumbling. That was 2 points. Damn, I should have wrote this down. No, I got them. Okay, 2 more. Next point. The last episode, I talked about junk collectors, all this stuff. I talked about, you know, rednecks, basically. Alluding to my own redneckiness. But I want to talk about something else that could be considered a redneck-ish thing, which you find quite often in rural areas, and I see it too often here. And I'm just going to just give you my personal opinion on it and comments. And it's how people sometimes burn their garbage. Literally just burn everything. And I'll tell you, I mean, the thing I have a problem with is plastics. When people are burning plastics, I see it in, you know, people have these little burn piles and or burn barrels in their backyard or by the side of the, like, there's a couple places I know that where there's a burn pile right at the side of the road, and you see it, you drive by sometimes and there's a little flames going and they're burning their garbage and you can see plastics and stuff in there, and it's what the WTF. That's another point. I'm not sure how much I want to curse or swear on this. You get me going, I'm like a complete, you know, curse like a sailor with the best of them. But I'm just going to try to, for now, I'll maybe, yeah, who cares? Either way. But, you know, the point is, for God's sake, don't burn plastic. When you, even if you melt plastic, let alone burn it, you're releasing chemical compounds called dioxins. And dioxins are like, I believe, the most carcinogenic, that's cancer-causing, bloody thing on the planet. I think, you know, it's god-awful. Don't burn plastics. Please stop frigging burning plastics. If you're somebody who burns plastics and listening to this, or if you know somebody who burns plastics, please let them know. It's your neighbor. I know somebody who used to burn plastic all the time, and it drove me crazy, and I talked to them, and I don't know if it did any good, but I'm trying to explain how, you know, how bad that is. Because you're burning it, and it's like you're putting those deadly compounds in the air for everybody around you to breathe. You know. Obviously, okay, somebody with a small burn pile in the backyard, that's, you could say, nothing compared to what comes out of some places. But yeah, it's just that's a pet peeve of mine when I see that, so I wanted to mention that, get that out of the way. Last but not least, my next thought I wanted to mention, toe socks. Totally off topic, nothing to do with anything at all. But I just thought this is interesting. A while back, I'm talking sometime over the winter, on a whim, I bought toe socks. What I mean by that is socks with each individual toe sewn in, like a pair of gloves for your feet. Each, there's a little mini sock over each toe as part of the whole sock. Does that make sense? Is there another word for toe socks? I don't know what they're called. So I got these over the winter. And today, this morning, getting up for work, I don't know why, I just said, I'm going to put those toe socks on. Try them out. And I'll be honest, it could be that I think they're a little too small and maybe all the circulation's been cut off on my foot all day. No, not really. They're really tight in the beginning, and I was actually checking my toes to make sure. But I think they just had to maybe stretch out a little bit. It's one of these things where it's, you know, it's fits size 4 to 19. Not really, but, you know, it was in the range of where I am. I'm an 11 and a half. This is my U.S. size. I think that's what, a 44 or something in the U.K. 44, 45. Anyway, I put those toe socks on, and after a couple hours, they started to get really comfortable. And you know, after a long, hard day, you take your shoes and your socks off, and you rub your feet, and you, like, you stick your finger between your toes. You know how good that feels? Imagine that all day long. All day long. That little feeling in between your toes of something there. Oh my God. No, seriously. Toe socks are the shit. I'm just saying that. I got to get that out of the way. I'm sorry. I love them. No, I love them. I'll be wearing toe socks tomorrow. And I think when I bought them, I bought a pack of like 6, 8, or even 10 pair. I can't remember. But yeah. They're my new favorite thing. Okay. In lieu of, you know, getting right into the monkey business stuff, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow on my drive home from work, I thought about something else, and I just, on a whim, that's the main reason I wanted to get in this, and I didn't want to take too long, so sorry for the extended introduction getting to the main point here today. But I want to talk about alcohol. Number one, I am an alcoholic. So that's why I try very hard not to drink anymore. This could go on for hours. This could be an entire podcast in itself, talking about alcoholism on Cape Breton Island. It's gory, you know. I never drank till I was about 18 years old. I held on. I didn't want to drink. I was scared to drink because I saw alcohol. I saw the effects of alcohol growing up. In a lot of places. And I'm not alone here in Cape Breton. Oh no. And so, you know, as I got older, you know, drinking was a regular part of life. Drinking, you know, going out and drinking, having a night out, just having a night in, whatever. Drinking was the event. The events that were going on outside of it were just consequences or bonuses. I don't want to put out the vibe about, you know, any kind of like victimhood thing, or there's peer pressure. There was, but I mean, but it was the same for everybody. It was everybody, myself included, did that to each other, to ourselves, because nobody wanted to be left out from the, you know, the in thing. I don't know if alcoholism is a disease or not. I don't know if it's genetic or not. But for me, I'll tell you, I believe it's been a choice of mine. I've always chosen to do it. So, as I got older, when I met my wife, my wife doesn't really drink. She might have one sip, one glass of wine or something at dinner, and that's about it. That's enough for her. So, and she's seen alcoholism herself, so she doesn't like it. So I tried not to drink. I wouldn't drink at home. But I used to do a little bit of traveling for a previous job. And when I was on the road, if I was not working, then I, you know, after I was done my work, I'll go out. If I'm at the hotel room, whatever it is, And I would just drink. And traveling is pretty crappy the best of times if you have to do it for work. But traveling with a hangover is even worse. Believe me. So, it'd be 2 years ago. So, August 2017. I said, that's it, I'm going to quit altogether. So, I'm going to quit for a year. I didn't want to say I would quit forever. I'll quit for a year. And I did that before. I did that before in 2008, I believe. Or 2009. I can't remember what year that was. I'd gone to a friend's... it was my birthday, but it was a friend of mine had a pig roast at his cottage. And I was so wasted. The plan was for me to... I brought my sleeping bag and pillow to go to sleep in my vehicle. It was a truck. I had only had it a few days. I just bought it. It wasn't brand new. It was used, but it was new to me. And I at the end of the night, I was completely wasted. Went to sleep in the truck. At some point, there was a knock on my window. Like that. And my truck was blocking somebody else who was leaving. So I started up my truck, and instead of just moving a little bit out of the way, apparently I pulled ahead, backed up, backed into somebody else's vehicle, then took off, and I drove away. I woke up the next morning in my bed, and I was like, oh my God. I had to look out the window to see if my vehicle was there, and it was, and I was like, oh no. And I learned about everything. And so after that event, I quit drinking for a whole year. And when the year was up, 08 or 09, I should have just stayed quitting. But instead, on my birthday, a year anniversary, I got drunk and I kept drinking after that. So this time, I went a year and a half and convinced myself, I want to be... I keep saying I want to be the kind of guy who can have one beer or a drink of wine with my dinner. I have a hard time admitting to myself that I can never drink again. That I have a hard time convincing myself I don't have that kind of self-control. It's so ridiculous. If I said I'm going to quit drinking coffee tomorrow or give up caffeine altogether, I could do that. I've done that before for periods of time. It's like I feel like I could quit anything. I quit cigarettes. I used to smoke. I haven't had a cigarette in, years now. So I had one beer at New Year's this year. And that was fine. I discussed it with my wife, told her my plan, what I wanted to do, was just to try it, see how I feel. I had the one beer, and my goodness, I wanted more. I enjoyed it. It was lovely. We were watching a show on Netflix or something together. But God, I was in the back of my mind, I was like, that was so good, I want another one. A few months went by, and I snuck a drink of whiskey. And then a week or so goes by, and I had a really big shot of whiskey. Like, probably 5 shots in one glass. And I paid for it the next day. Wow. Wow. And so, I can't drink. I can't drink alcohol. I used to joke with my wife when I said I was going to quit years ago. Like back when I said I'd quit, but I was really drinking when I was, away from home. But that's the thing, really. I was lying to her about it. But Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is I joke with her that when I'm older, when I'm in my 70s, I'm just going to do all the drugs just to try it out. But no, I can't drink alcohol. And I want to tie this in with the theme of the podcast and what this is all supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about community development. Well, community is about individuals, you know, and what they do and how they contribute and what motivates them. And let me tell you, when you're drinking, when I'm drinking, I'm not very motivated. One drink, like some people, you know, they have a beer on a Saturday afternoon, then they go and, you know, lace and, you know, make a brick fireplace or going to build a barn. My God, I have one beer, I'm done. I don't want to do anything else for the rest of the day. I just want to have more beer. So I'm not one of these productive, functional alcoholics at all, really, in that sense. I don't want to do it. So for me, if I'm going to be a productive person, a productive employee, a productive family member, a productive member of society in general, I cannot drink alcohol. And if I'm going to be productive and successful with this podcast, with my other ideas, things I want to share with you, and if I'm going to be open with you, then I want to share this. And I also want to put it out there. You know, they say if you really want to do something, put it out to the world, tell people what you're going to do. And then there's a bit of onus on you. I've said it. I've told you. I've put it out there. To clarify, I do love, you know, I love to enjoy a nice cold beer on a hot day, but it's the alcohol. So there are some very fine non-alcoholic beers out there, and I do drink those from time to time. For non-alcoholic beverages, I don't know, maybe it's just me, I just find them a little expensive, and the cheapest ones, not my favorite thing in the world. But there are some good ones, and once in a while, if I get a solid craving, that's a fix for me. And I find that you have one or two of those, and I don't want it. I don't want more, the same way I do if it was real beer. So that's how I know I can enjoy a beer without the alcohol, without that catch. It's literally the drug. It's the alcohol that is the hook. It's the act of sitting there and drinking it, that habit forming part of having something in your hand and drinking it, like, and tasting the beer go down on a summer day. For me, anyway, if you're listening to this and you're an alcoholic and you've never drank the non-alcoholic beer, I'm not advocating that you do that. I don't want to suggest that at all to anybody and have that lead into drinking, because I know somebody else who's an alcoholic who will get, when he tries to be sober, will get those as well. He'll go through those non-alcoholic beer for a short period of time, but then inevitably seems to wander back into the real stuff. Technically, I have myself, but I'm putting it out there that I'm done with this alcohol stuff. I'm not going to do that anymore. I want to be motivated by something more productive, more real, more, I don't want to sound like a cliche, but life's too short to waste it with garbage like that. I've done it. I've drank enough for several lifetimes. I don't need to do that anymore. So I'm sorry if this bores you. It's not, you know, I'm not talking about how to start a non-profit organization in your community or all these things that you read the synopsis of what this podcast is going to be. I haven't written what the synopsis is going to be, but I felt I had to share that with you today. And yeah, I guess there's a way to look at it. I've thought about this before, too. You you think of all the fundraising activities community organizations do, and one of the biggest fundraisers is the bear, you know, at special events. The bear takes in a lot of money. The more beer, the more shots, whatever you sell at your event, the better it is for your nonprofit group. And believe you me, if I or anybody had better ideas of how to bring in money for a community center or hall or whatever it is, I don't know what that is yet. Alcohol is a big part of community development, really, if you think about it in that sense. And see, what I want to be clear about is I'm not trying to demonize alcohol. I don't want to do that. I apologize if anybody thinks that's what I'm getting at. Alcohol, for a lot of people, is just an enjoyable thing. And they're responsible with it, and they don't let it, and it doesn't maybe affect their lives in a negative way. For me it does, and for a lot of people I know it does. So there's both sides of the coin there. And again, I don't know what, you know, some people say alcohol is a disease. I don't know if that's true or not. And for me, I think every time back where I've made the decision to have a drink, I made that choice. Nobody forced me. Nobody ever forced me to drink once. I always made that choice. And I'm saying I don't want to make that choice anymore. For me. If you do, that's fine. I hope if you drink, then you just drink responsibly and you don't drink and drive. Because I've done that. And I'm very, very grateful that nothing devastating came out of it. Because that happens way, way too often. When I was young, my late teens, early 20s, the way I behaved back then, to be honest, I never really thought I would live. You know, I didn't think I would see 30 years old. I just assumed that someday I would do something stupid enough to end up killing myself in an accident or something, or just health-wise, I was on a bad path. I just never expected to live that long. I was not a very responsible adult, especially between the ages of 20 and 30, let's say. And you pay the price for that as you get older, because by the time you get to be in your 30s, you try to start to become responsible, more responsible, and it's just harder because you're out of practice, I guess. Responsibility is a skill. It takes practice in some ways. So, yeah, I'm glad to share that with you. I want to focus my energy and motivation on something productive. And aside from this, as strange as it sounds, I would love to grow grapes and make my own wine. I would love to make my own beer and try things like that someday. Without drinking it. Can I do that? I don't know. I do want to make my own non-alcoholic beer. Apparently, the way you do that is you make real beer, then you just heat it to a certain temperature, takes the alcohol out of it, adds some carbon dioxide to make it bubbly in the bottle, and that's it. I never knew that. So I'm going to do that someday. Not soon, but my problem is I love stout, like, you know, a Guinness. I like a thick, dark beer, and I haven't been able to find a good non-alcoholic stout anywhere. If you know of one, go to communityfromwithin.com and send me a message. Tell me where to get it. I found one company online, but they're not in production yet. From the States somewhere. Buy some toe socks. You'll love them. Don't cut off the circulation to your toes. Be very, very careful about that. But they're so awesome. Okay. That's it. That's two eps today. That's crazy. Ep number three down. Cheers, everybody. Thanks. And tomorrow I'll record that one on Monkey Business and tell you all about it. Cheers.